you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we come thanking you, overwhelmed by your grace and your mercy towards us. Thank you, Lord. There is a place for us. Not only for us, you said there's a place for everyone. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for our co-worker, for our boss, for our friend, for our brother, our sister, uncle, grandparents, parents, daughters, sons, husbands, wife. There's a place for everyone. For God's will is that none would perish. So, Jesus, Lord, ignite that passion and love in our hearts for you and for all those around us once again. Oh, Jesus, we love you. And we thank you, God, that you are here. We thank you, God, no matter what we are facing today, as we cast our cares on you, you care for us. Help us not to compare, because we can look to one side and say, oh, that's not fair. They got it easy. We can look to another side and say, oh, they got it so hard. But help us, Lord, to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, throwing off what easily entangles, because every one of us have our own crosses to bear. We all struggle differently. We all have different giftings. We have all different abilities, and we all carry our own cross. Don't pick up someone else's cross. I don't know who this is for, but you got to stop picking up someone else's cross. You're trying to pick up their burden. You're trying to pick up their thing, but you weren't made to carry that. And for someone here today, very narrowing in for a moment, you got to stop trying to pick up Jesus' cross. You cannot pay your own sins. You cannot do what he did. You pick up the cross he gave you to carry and let him who died on his cross, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, cover and forgive you. Stop trying to earn forgiveness. Let him release it to you. So Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. It is amazing and always good to be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing even amongst us. We just believe whenever you walk in the room, everything changes. Body, mind, soul, and spirit, I just pray healing and health and wholeness. I pray peace and rest. Lord, as we look to you, we look to the Son, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, everything shifts. So once again, Lord, renew our strength. Once again, help us, Lord, to understand that we were created to walk on top of the water and the problems, not underneath it. Not overwhelmed and broken because you're fighting our battles. And if you be for us, who and what could be against us? And so, Lord, I just bless each and every one here today. I thank you for your love towards us. I thank you that you are here. God, thank you that what you declare over our lives is truth. Not what someone else speaks over us. Not when someone's having a bad day and says something to us. But it's what you say over us. And so, Lord, open our ears once again. Open our eyes to see and hear you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are personal, God. And I thank you for what you're doing amongst us. God, as we come with our tithes and our offerings at this time, Lord, it's really just an expression of our heart. It's not an expression of our wallet. It's an expression of our heart. That our heart is yours. And that we love you. And that you are our King. And we come and we lay before you our tithes and our offerings once again, saying thank you. You said that you would build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The church is not a building. The church is our lives. And as we gather together, we form the body of Christ called Rockcliffe. And you're building it. And nothing the enemy tries is going to work. And so God, Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving us the honor and privilege of partnering with you in what you're doing here at Rockcliffe. Bless each and every one as they give today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, would you come at this time and we'll take up our morning offering. Kids, you are dismissed at this time. You can head to your classes. So thankful for our kids. We love them lots. While we're taking up our morning tithes and offerings, I got a few announcements to make. We are well underway on our renovations and trying hard to meet every deadline there is. There's many deadlines and many things, but just a heads up, just in case people are wondering and what's going on, there is major construction happening at Rockcliffe over the next couple months. Number one is outside, Outside, we are digging up our sewer line. The town, or city, sorry, not town. I don't know why I call it town, but city of Owen Sound. About 12 or 13 years, maybe it's even now almost 15 years ago, amalgamated Rockcliffe into the city of Owen Sound. In other words, they just moved the boundary line to the edge of our property. So we're now in city limits. So for the last 15 years, they've been after us to upgrade our septic field to sewer. And we all know that our septic has been having a lot of problems. It doesn't owe us anything. It's been in the ground for, I don't know how many years now, but it's been a long, long time. And so we're in the middle of upgrading that. Well, we got a pause in the middle of upgrading because the city came back to us and said they found some new paperwork. And so they found some new paperwork. We were busting in and bringing a 6-inch line over there to the sewer, to the manhole, because that's all they had, is what they had on paper. Well, they found that, wait a minute, I don't know how many years ago, they upgraded it to a 10-inch line. So, long story short, we needed a pause so that we could get rid of the 6-inch and bring the 10-inch in and put it in place. But the bonus of that is that opens up a whole opportunity for our land next door. Our land next door, we had our RSC annual business meeting. That's our Rockcliffe Seniors Complex business meeting last Sunday. And part of the board of RSC asked permission from the members, and the members gave permission for the RSC board to look into the possibility of building not another complex, because there's no money for that, but a village, a seniors village, so to speak, on our property next door. So we're going to look into a feasibility study that the government is throwing free grant money out to, and we're going to take a peek to see if it's going to be feasible for us to build another complex under our Rockcliffe Seniors Complex. We're so excited about the expansion and the opportunity, if the Lord wills it and it opens up. And this pause in our sewer system has now just opened up the land next door from two homes or two buildings on it to now a whole subdivision could be put in. And so, you know, God works in mysterious ways. You know, things that we don't understand or we think are bumps in the road, and oh my goodness, we just started and now we got to stop. You know what? In your life, you will have those moments. And just remind yourself, who opens doors and who closes them? It's God, not you and me. I try sometimes, I get impatient, and I try with a crowbar to cram that door open because I just want to go through it. But it just won't open if God's not in it. That's where we come with a trust in Him, that He is leading you. Holy Spirit is inside of you and He's guiding you. I'm off of the sewer now and I'm onto life. So trust in Him. Wherever you're facing, whatever you're going through, stop trying to cram the door open or trying to stop and close it behind you, because God might not want it closed. Maybe there's still something left undone that He wants to be completed. Trust in Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. We're so thankful that the province and county has saw fit that they're dropping $250,000 into our building upgrades. And we're well on our way to that. We started construction at the end of this past week, and we're into rolling into it this week with plumbers and electricians and carpenters walking through the building in the middle of things. And so grateful for our daycare staff and our director, Kristen, who's just been working hard around it as we move. At the end of the day, we're going to have totally upgraded our whole CE wings, both sides. And on top of that, we're getting a brand new kitchen. And so God is so good, amen? And that a couple of years ago, we were all almost in tears saying, oh my goodness, how are we going to ever do all the rentals that need to be done around here? And God is just showing us that He is the provider of all of our needs, amen? And so I just encourage you, and that watch your step, watch your place as you're moving around, just in case there's some construction happening where you're moving over the next few weeks, and just keep your head up so you can be looking around, amen? On that note, we are going to postpone our Christmas banquet, okay? Our Christmas banquet that was going to be on the 16th. We are having our Christmas play, but we're not going to have the Christmas banquet. Instead, we're going to have a celebration party in January, celebrating the new year and celebrating the final finishing of the rentals in our new kitchen, and we're going to enjoy together. So those that have picked up tickets, I think there's only one that have paid, so we'll make sure that they get their money back. But we're going to postpone our Christmas banquet because our kitchen is starting rentals on December the 10th. That means we're busting out a wall, we're ripping out and taking everything out of there and redoing the kitchen. And so the builders said they needed an extra week to get it done. So I just wanted to bring that mention again, that there is no Christmas banquet. We are going to postpone it until the new year. Lots of other announcements in your bulletin. If you weren't here for the RSC board annual meeting, the report is available from the front office. You can see Kim or Casey, and they'll make sure they get it to you. I think that is the announcements. And Dave, you have one? Okay.
Just a couple of things. First of all, on behalf of those who run the Shoebox Ministry here in Owen Sound, a huge thank you. So accumulated between all the churches in Owen Sound, close to 250 shoeboxes were filled. Yes, that's great.
Amen.
And they're going to be sent across the ponds and to bless kids in other parts of the world. So thank you very much on behalf of them. Secondly, December the 6th at 6:30 p.m., Joy Ministries is hosting a Christmas music evening filled with Christmas music, carol singing, and other gospel music. The cost is $5 per ticket, and if you can, bring a non-perishable food item. We're going to have an intermission with some refreshments during that evening. So if you're able to attend, that's wonderful. The tickets are available at the hospitality desk at the back. If you want to come and you don't like to drive after night at this time of year, just get your ticket and write ride beside your name on the sheet, and we'll be sure that you get a ride to and from the event. So God bless you, and hope to see you there.
And I forgot to mention also that RPC, our board nominations are open, and they'll be open till December 16th. So as you're praying and asking the Lord, God, who would you have stand for the board this round? Then I just encourage you, more details will follow in next week for you for that. But they need to be a member in good standing here at Rockcliffe, and someone that you feel that would represent well the body and help alongside of their pastors. So we just encourage that. Also on December 23rd, we want to hold a special Christmas family service. If you have a gift to sing and you'd love to do a solo or a duet, or maybe you'd be interested in, I've got a children's book that I'd love to do a kid's story, and you'd love, hey, I'd love to read the kid's story for the kids. Or maybe you have a poem, a Christmas poem you'd like to read, or a scripture that really just, you know, around that whole idea of Christmas that you'd like to read, or you would read one that I can find for you, could you please, on the welcome desk out there, there's a sign-up sheet. Can you sign up? We just want to just love on family and just have a really special time together. So if you could do that, that would be great. Well, we are now starting into week three of a challenge that I've been bringing of just how powerful God's blood is. What Jesus did on the cross for you and I, we should never take it for granted. You know, in some of the churches around, they'll serve communion every single week. Here at our Pentecostal church, we do it once a month. It's not right, it's not wrong, it's just how it's done here. And that reminder where we pause to do in remembrance of Him. But listen, everything we do here at church is meant for something you can do at home. Amen? Sometimes I'll grab this little juice cup with a little lid on it, and it's got a little wafer on top, and I'll hand out a bunch of them at the end of service and give. The last time I did that, I bought a bunch of them, and that some people said to me, they tasted terrible. So I don't know what company I got them from, but in that part is I just trying to let you know and understand is you can have communion around your table with your family. How many think it's a good thing to remember Jesus in our homes? Right? So, in that part is we're coming all month of November, we've had communion. reminding us and challenging us of just how strong his keeping power is. What he did on the cross. The first week we talked about coming out of Psalms 107:2, and it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That he has taken you and I as believers in Christ out of the hand of the enemy and put us into the hand of God. That's what he did. The devil blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. Listen to me. We're all wretched sinners in need of a Savior. It doesn't matter if you think you've only told a white lie and someone else has done something worse. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And we were born with a sinful nature that needs to be changed. And the only way that gets changed was the shedding of Christ's blood. But the power of Christ's blood took you from the hand of the enemy and brought you into the hand of God. Took you out of darkness and brought you into light. If you want to flip the slide for me. I want to read this declaration again. As you seek the Lord and declare his word, you will, can we read it together, receive physical and emotional healing. Be free from fear, guilt, and shame. Recognize God's voice. Learn God's way to financial blessings. Find God's purpose and plan for your life. Achieve victory over temptation and develop faith for the miraculous. Can I get a big amen? You see, when we are in Christ, that should be our desires, to be more like him. We're not in just to kind of ride the pine or just survive or just make it. We're not just trying to get to heaven. We're trying to be like Christ. Less of me, more of him. Amen? Last week, we started talking about through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Now, that should get a shout. Amen? Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of his grace." So in that part of that forgiveness that we receive of all of our sins, there's a part that we need to acknowledge our sin. You see, sometimes we're not so good at this. We're not so good at acknowledging when we've done wrong to each other. As a reflection, we don't acknowledge it to the Lord. Well, he knows anyways. Doesn't really matter. But that acknowledging to the Lord is not for him, but it's for you and me. That asking for forgiveness is not for him. It's for you and me. He doesn't need it, but you and I do. And this is where confusion comes a lot of times. Because, well, he died on the cross and all my sins forgiven, so whatever. You know, we fall down, we fail, we mess up, we hurt someone, we do something, we hurt him. And then we just get back, oh, okay, but you know what, it's done, it's whatever. But we never acknowledged it and said, God, forgive me. You see, when we don't acknowledge it and we don't come to him, what we do is we leave a door open for the enemy. Listen, maybe he's not going to come and attack you with the part of trying to tempt you or come at you again on that, but he might come with the part of something you and I know very well, guilt and shame. Oh man, they are like wet blankets the enemy throws on us. And how do you shut that down? You acknowledge it before your Lord. Bring it into the light. Bring it into the light. Because that's what your Father's at. He's in the light. He is the light. Bring it into the light. Don't leave it in the darkness and just try to hide it and keep it in your pocket or put it aside and, you know, hope it goes away or whatever. No, bring it into the light right away. Acknowledge our sin. Psalms 32, the King David wrote about his own personal experience in Psalms 32, 3 to 5, he says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long, through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was zapped as in the heat of summer. But when I acknowledged my sin to you, it did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Oh, today, if you're carrying guilt or shame, you don't have to. Thank you, Jesus. He's paid for all of your sins. Acknowledge it. Bring it into the light before him. Don't worry. And that you're not going to scare him off. He already knew. Amen? But what you're doing is you're going to come into a place of a deeper trust in him, and you're going to realize how much he loves you. You're going to begin to understand, like we sang the song, and that of just who he says you are. He's not up there with a big hammer waiting to get you. He's just sitting there saying, I'm just hoping that you'll come to your senses. I'm just hoping you'll open your heart and receive all that I'm trying to give to you. Because I love you. You're my son and you're my daughter. Everything of my inheritance I want to give to you. That's why Jesus said, you can do the same things that I did, Jesus said, and even greater. Why? Because you're co-heirs with Christ. That's what he says. But acknowledging, I believe that when David wrote this, he had in mind the matter of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. It was a terrible situation, and when David had committed adultery, then he committed murder, and then he tried to cover it all up. David obviously had been like many of us. For a long while, he had refused to face the fact of his sin, and he tried to ignore it. You see, now, we can categorize, well, I never murdered anyone. I never did this. In God's eyes, sin is sin. In the world around us, consequences are different. Amen? Right? Mom says, don't put the hand in the cookie jar and you take a cookie. You know, you might not get cookies next week, or you might get a little bit of a love tap. But mom says, don't touch the stove because it's hot and you touch it. Consequences are a little different, aren't they? Right, so consequences in this world are different. And so because we look at consequences differently around us, we automatically equate that with God. But God says, whoa, sin is sin in my eyes. It's all wrong. It all needs to be covered by the blood of Christ, because nothing will pay for that sin. No matter penance, no matter how many good things you do, nothing will pay for it. Bring it into the light, acknowledge it, and the enemy will have nothing. Another portion of scripture says, keep a short account before God. Keep a short account. And that acknowledge your sin before him. In the next verse, in Psalms 32, verse 6 and 7, David makes a personal application. He says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. This is how we fight our battles. As we come and we cling to the cross and we don't let go. We just hang on to Christ and what he's done for us. Because there's nothing I can do to earn what he's done for me. But when I hang on to him, and I accept, as we do this and remember to me, I accept his broken body and what he did for me. I accept his blood shed for me. And I begin to acknowledge it out loud that I am a child of God. He's my God, and I am his. He is my king. He is my master. I am so in desperate of need of him today. What we do is we come and we bring ourselves into the light. And that's where he wants us to stay. Not part-time Christian. Not part-time in the light. But remain in me as I remain in you. And you can ask anything. The problem is we lose our confidence every time we step into something that we know we shouldn't. We don't lose our position. God loves us, and he still cares for us, and he's still bidding us and pulling us. So every time you sneeze, you don't lose them. But we lose our confidence. And he says, come boldly before my throne room. But it's pretty hard to ask someone something when you think you've wronged them. Or when you know he said, don't do this, and you end up doing it. It's hard for us to come. And that's where he's given us the ability, as we acknowledge our sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. What has God done in your life? What's he done in your life? Now, I really honestly would love to hear the testimonies of what God's done in your life. I've asked, you know, over the years, I've had a few people say yes, but not many, and that say, hey, I'd love to come to your home. I'd love to hear your story. So I'm just making it easier. Send me an email of your story. I'll come to your home if you want me to, but send an email of your story. We want to hear your testimony of what God has done in your life. Maybe it's your salvation one. Maybe it's something else that you were facing and you just didn't know how to get through, and then God showed up. Why? I need encouraged. You need encouraged. The Bible says we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. First. Second, the word of our testimony. It works. This is how it did in my life. It works. He's alive. This is what happened to me. And we come alongside his blood and what he did. And we testify. Shouting from the mountaintops of just how big and how good he is. Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his richness and grace. So this morning, I want to jump into part 3. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin. So not only does he forgive all my sin, but his blood continually cleanses me of all my sin. Amen? How many know? Do you think that you're perfect yet? Any perfect people here? I can't put my hand up for this, but I'm just saying, if you are, put something up. Right? We're works in progress. He that began a good work will. He's not done with you yet. So if God's going to be patient with you, do you think that we shouldn't be patient with each other and with ourselves? He's at work. He's at work. And his power of his blood continually cleanses me from my sin. Continually. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Can you say all with me? All. Not just one, not just little baby ones, but anything that anyone could ever do or think or have done to them, God can cleanse it all and make anything new. So what am I trying to say? No one is a write-off. No one has gone too far. Do you know how you know if you've gone too far? If you breathed your last breath without accepting him in your heart, without coming to him. That's when you've gone too far. Because in the grave, there is no more changing decisions, making something different. You know, the lie that some religious stuff has put in that, hey, you could pay for Uncle Buck, you know, who was kind of on the fence and you weren't sure if he was in. If you just pay a little more money, then somehow that will tip the scale to get him into heaven. No. This is our time. This is our heaven's rehearsal. Do we want to live with God or do we not want to live with him? And whatever we do on this earth is what will happen on the other side. If I live with him here, guess what? I'll live with him there. If I choose to refuse to live with him here, then on the other side, I won't live with him. He's given you the choice. God's will is that none would perish, and he's preparing a place that has many rooms for everyone. This is not a God issue. This is an issue you and I have to come to grips with. Are we going to surrender to him? Are we going to come and walk in the light as he is in the light? See, one provision of the precious blood of Jesus, you know, is cleansing enough. He cleanses everything. In the verse, there are three verbs that in the continued present tense. So it's this continued present tense. If you know English language, it is walk, fellowship, and cleanse. We must take note of that. You see, if we continually walk in the light, we continually have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. Let me say that again. If we continue to walk in the light, then we continually have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. It's very important to see, and that this isn't kind of some coincidence, but it's very strategic on how he writes down the Word of God. If we continue to walk in the light of God's Word by obeying what it says, then the first result is that we'll have fellowship with one another. And the Bible puts it this way: spirit and flesh, they war against each other. Amen? Now, let's look from the flesh side. I would not be exaggerating to say there's 100 different differences between all of us in this room now. Age, gender, glasses, no glasses, color of hair, ears small, ears big. And we could find any one of those that, well, you know, I just think everyone should have this because we do. And we move into these realms and we move into the places of our pockets. How many Toronto fans are out there? You know, how many Habs fans, you know, and then all of a sudden, rah, you know. We find all the reasons, but when Christ says we come to him, it's no longer I or you that live, but Christ who lives in us. So when we are walking in the light, then the Spirit should be leading. And can the Holy Spirit get along with himself? Yeah. So we should be able to get along with each other. When we walk in the Spirit, we will have differences. We will look at things differently. We will respond differently, all that stuff. But deep in our heart, we should say, you know, man, I don't like that, but yeah, I think it's okay. The Word of God speaks that. Yep. I might not like that change. I might not like that look. I might not like the fact that, you know, women have long hair. I think they should have short hair or vice versa. Or men should all have a necktie or shouldn't have a necktie or whatever, 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 whatever. But when we walk in the flesh, we will find thousands of reasons that we are not going to get along. But when we walk in the Spirit, God created it that we can have fellowship together. That's why around the world they look at us and they say, how on earth can you do it? How can you get kids and youth to hang out with adults? How can you get, you know, adults to hang out with each other? How can you do this? How can you do that? How can you cross language and barrier and color of skin? I mean, that's impossible in our world today. Wars are fought over that today. But in the body of Christ, he makes us one. Cleansing here and now. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleansed me from all my sin. You see, my personal testimony based on the statement above would be, while I am walking in the light, the blood of Jesus is cleansing me now and continually from all my sin. You see, God's at work even when I'm not at work. He's dancing and singing over me, and he's working on my behalf, and he's rearranging things even when I'm not paying attention. For when you said yes to God, he plays for keeps. And he took you at your word. And that's why sometimes it's not so comfortable, when we want to kind of do our own thing and we start kind of moving, we feel this thing we call conviction. And that's just Holy Spirit trying to say, whoa, wait a second here. Where you're going right now, the attitude, the thought, whatever, it's not the way that, you know, you said you were going to go. It's not really what you really wanted to do. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing, and I don't understand why. Because there's a battle going on. And that's why he says, remain in me as I remain in you. It's a beautiful commentary on this truth in Psalms 51. Which is really a great repentance, you know, psalm that David penned after his conviction of his sin of adultery and murder. It's one of the most beautiful psalms, a psalm every one of us would do well to read from time to time and make it our own prayer. I believe in making the psalms my prayers. I don't just read them, but sometimes I'll sing them to him, or sometimes I'll make it and turn it into a prayer. There's no stronger prayer you could pray than praying the word of God. Psalms 51:7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David introduces the hyssop, if I'm pronouncing that right. The implication of that is the substance that brings the blood where I am. It's a prophetic thing. It's talking about even in when they were in Egypt and God was sending the plagues, he says, okay, to all those that were Jews, he says, go into your homes and take hyssop, take blood and dip the hyssop and put it over top of your lintel and around your doorpost. He says, and that blood will cover you and your family. It'll cover you so that the enemy cannot enter. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ puts a covering over us. It puts a line in the ground the enemy just can't cross. And as we remain in the light and we remain in him, then all those fiery darts get quenched and get stopped by our shield of faith. He's bigger. But don't get me wrong, you're going to feel things. You're going to go through trials of many kinds. But you're going to be able to persevere. You're going to be able to develop patience and mature because your God's bigger than anything you face. The problem is when our shield of faith comes down, doubt starts to enter, we start questioning just how big and how great and how strong and his ability, or we get impatient and we step out trying to do it on our own. His burden is light, his yoke is easy. If you're feeling the weights, you got a heavy rock in your heart, then maybe you're just taking a little step out of direction from him and back up and let wait on him. Let him take that load. Cast your care on him because he cares for you. So fulfilling the conditions, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all my sin. So let's look a little more closely at this statement about the blood that is found in 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, talking about Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We've already seen how these three elements are interactively and they're bound together in the Word of God. Walk in the light, fellowship with one another, and the cleansing of the blood. Many people claim the cleansing and protection of the blood but do not meet the conditions that entitle them to receive it. Cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ is a consequence that follows from something that is preceded with an if. If you look in almost all the promises of God, it's conditioned. If you or I do this, then he will always do this. See, we're in a situation, it's nothing new. It's come multiple times through the church multiple times even Paul addresses, when we're moving into a place that doesn't really matter. Everything's kind of okay. God's got it all. And we're removing our responsibility in anything. I can't do anything to earn my salvation. Amen? You need to hear that. You can do nothing to earn it. Nothing to deserve it. It is either free or it's not at all. Because then it's perverted by religion and legalism. And that's a stench in God's nostril. It's free. And we have to learn how to accept that. Some of us are really good givers. Some are really good receivers. It's hard to do both. I'll give you the shirt off my back. But when it all of a sudden it turns to come my way, I'm sometimes harder to receive it. I don't know quite how to handle it. Wait a minute here. We're all in that boat in one scale or another. But when it comes to what Jesus did, we have to swallow our pride. We have to humble ourselves. And we have to say, I don't get it all. And I don't understand why you do it for me, God. But God, I'm gonna receive the free gift of salvation, the cleansing of my sins, and you washing me white as snow. There's nothing else we can do other than receive it. But once we've received it, then we can't help but move. We can't help but change. Because his power enables me to do it. I can't change on my own. I can't fix it. I can't kick the habit. I can't move in that on my own abilities. But in Christ, now that I'm in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You get what I'm saying? Cleansing by the blood of Jesus is the consequent that follows from something that is preceded with an if. It is a conditional statement. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then there's two results that will happen. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the word, walk in Christ as he is in us, then two results happen. Not one, but two. The cleansing of his blood is the second result. The first result is we will have fellowship with one another. Listen to me. I wish I could say all of us are going to be the best of buds. We're all going to love doing everything the same. And if you say, oh, great, I quilt or I knit. Do you want to come and knit with me? I might say yes. Or I might say, oh, man, I'm not really into that. How about you come and play basketball with me? Come on, let's go play some ball. That would be awesome. We all have different likes, right? I might sit in a room and I might cheer for the Vancouver Canucks. And that might irritate you. And so we have all these things there, but that's not what he's talking about when we have fellowship with one another. For when we come together as a body of Christ, we're not coming as a group of friends that all like the same things. We're coming as family. And I don't know about you, I've never met a family on every single thing they agree on. Right? There's always going to be differences. There's always going to be stuff. I remember my big brother. Man alive, he'd chase us around if we did wrong and we'd get hammered. And he'd make sure we were in line. The pecking order was there. But heaven help anyone outside of the family. I remember one day, and that I was really young. I was really young. I was 4, 5, 6. And these guys that were 17, 16, 17 were picking on my brother, 1 year older than me. And they were throwing snowballs and different things at us and like really hurting us. And we were running, we were dodging. My brother came out. He's only 3 years older than me. He came running out and went toe-to-toe with them. I mean, he didn't fight. He just told him, he says, you back off and don't touch my brothers again. I don't know how these 16-year-olds like would probably laugh at him or take, but with the intensity that was in his heart and his love for us, it came out in his voice and out of his eyes that they saw it and they backed down and went away. Listen to me. Jesus is your defender. And one word from him makes the enemy shudder. And he is protecting you and he is defending you. So as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we can then have confidence that his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. Not just once, but continually as we come to him, he'll forgive us. And we'll have fellowship with one another. Don't let something come between you. Don't let little things cut in on your relationship and your fellowship with one another. I had a good conversation with someone the other day, and they said, you know, Pastor, don't get me wrong. I don't want to offend you or anything, he said, but I just don't feel that, you know, we really have to go to church to be saved. And right away, my response was, absolutely. He's like, what? I said, that's right. Coming to church, you can come to church every Sunday and still not make it to heaven. Amen? Church doesn't save anyone. Jesus saves everyone. Amen? And when we come to church, we're not coming to church. We're coming with Jesus, right? But what church does, it helps keep us. And it helps us walk in the light because he commanded it. He says, even all the more as the day approaches, you need to be together more. Why? Because it's going to be really hard, and the enemy is like a lion looking for someone to devour. Who's cutting him off from the body? Who's moving out on their home? Who's this? Who can I get? Right? He can't. The lion doesn't attack a big herd for fear he gets trampled on. But what it does is it pushes a herd until it finds one break off. It goes for that weak one. It goes for there. Don't break off. Walk in the light. And enjoy the fellowship with one another and the cleansing of his blood. So bring sin to light. We were talking earlier. Fellowship is a place of light. This is why fellowship is a place of testing. The closer the fellowship we have with one another, the brighter the light. Until you come to a place where there are no hidden corners. Listen to me. When I'm at home by myself, I'm the perfect Christian. There is no one better than me until I get around all of you. And then I realize I still have some growing to do. There are some areas that God needs to chisel out of me. Why? Because I see the light of Christ in each one of you. And every one of us has our strengths. Every one of us have our weaknesses. And that's why we're better together. Because we spur one another on in the most holy faith. We spur, we encourage, we help, and that when one is weak, the other is strong, and they help them up. That's what family does. That's what the body of Christ is for. We're meant to be vulnerable. If you are in any way wrong before God or wrong before your neighbor, then you're not fully in the light. You're not realizing what he's done for you. Your confidence goes down, and that your trust, your ability, you end up leaning on your own understanding instead of his. The blood will never and that be applied outside of the light. God's blood, and that doesn't cover someone that is not saying, Jesus, would you come into my heart and forgive me? So, not everyone is going to hear his call. In fact, there's people this week that passed away in Owen Sound that didn't know Jesus Christ. That should break our heart. Some of us have family members, right? That they didn't know him. And someone texts me, I don't even know who the person is. It's someone from Thunder Bay. I didn't live in Thunder Bay, but I did a lot of work in the north, so a lot of people knew me. And this young man, and he's in his early 30s, he's texting me, and he turned around and he texts me. He's texted me on and off, out of the blue. I never ever met him before. And he texted me just recently, said, "Pastor, my friend, my really good friend," and that was it. He's been battling depression, and he hit a really heavy low, and he ended up taking his own life. Everyone around me tells me that he's in hell now. And so, you know, I pause for a moment and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, loaded questions over text. How do you manage this? And I say, God, what do I do? And so I paused and I said, you know what? He's in the hands of the Lord right now. And there's no better place for anyone to be. But when it comes to heaven or hell, I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for 23 years. And I have no right to put anyone in or take anyone out. Everyone should say thank you, God, for that, right? Because then, you know, you'd have to stay on my good books, right? Otherwise, you're out. You know, like that naughty and nice list. We don't have that power and ability. By your fruit, you should be known and everything else. I've done a few funerals here since I've been here that I honestly were the easiest funerals. And people say, how can you say funerals easy? They were lovers of God. And it was so easy to see by their fruit, so easy by their declaration. It made it into a celebration. But then I've also done others. You see, he cleanses us from all our sin. I don't know. And I know this is the magic question everyone asks, but I don't know. If I am in the light and I decide to sin or take a step into a dark place, you know, God's keeping power is pretty strong. I don't know if I keep traveling down that road. Is it two steps? Is it three steps? Is it six steps? When I know what I ought to do and I don't do it, it's sin. But then when I end up doing it, and I know better, and I keep doing it, then it keeps leading me down a darker path where the enemy just has more free reigns because I'm not understanding the freedom he's given me. I'm not confident, oh, he'll have me back. I'm not confident. I'm not, you know, and we doubt ourselves. We allow the enemy to rob us of the one thing that Christ gave us, and that was the forgiveness of our sin. And that we can have peace with God. See, ultimately, that's what the enemy is out to. He might attack you physically. He might attack relationship. He might attack other things around you. But ultimately, one thing is on his track and mind. Is to destroy your confidence in what Christ did. So that you will doubt God. And you will move into your own thing. He cannot stop what Christ did. He cannot stop what Christ has offered us. So all he's trying to do is distract you and me to lose confidence, to begin to doubt, so we will go down our own path. How far down that path do you have to go before you lose God? I don't have a sweet clue. All I want to say to you is, once we know we're going down the wrong path, rabbit trail with a thought, with an action, with a word, with a deed, whether it's our first step, it's our 50th step, whatever step it is, when you come to your senses, acknowledge it before the Lord. Accept his forgiveness and let him bring you back over here right away so you can walk in the light. That's how big our God is. He's not against you. He's not working against you. The enemy's working against you. And sometimes our own selves work against us. Let me just finish, and then I'll have the communion. We'll take communion in a moment. Peace Peace comes as a byproduct of obedience. When we know that we've been asked to do something, and we do it, whether it be my mom, my dad, asked me when I was young, and I did what they asked me to do, then there was a confidence, there was a peace that, hey, I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm okay. Everything's okay. And when we do what God asks us to do, when we follow his word, it's not because he has some kind of alter ego that he's trying to control us and he's trying to snuff out our fun and everything else. He just knows that when we follow those rabbit holes and we go down those dead-end roads, how destructive it can be and how blinded we can get to what Jesus has actually done for us. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Fellowship is the first test, and that for us walking in the light. If we're not enjoying fellowship with our fellow believers and with the Lord, then it's pretty hard for us to have that confidence to ask him anything in his name. So how we walk in the light, the first condition is we must walk in obedience to the word. Psalms 119:105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light into my path. I think I've shared it before. My wife, if you need interior decorating, she is amazing at it. But just let her in once. Don't let her in twice, because then she'll change it a second time for you and then a third time for you. And all through my married life, I'm trying to be that good husband, and I'm coming in late because I was working late or I'm out doing something. I don't turn the lights on because I'm trying to creep in, you know, because I don't want to wake her up. And all of a sudden I'm walking in and bang, I hit a coffee table or I hit something she moved, like was never there for the last month, and all of a sudden it's there. I should have turned the light on, right? You know, I mean, and that's, listen to me, in that part is, the word of God illuminates your path, so when you're walking through all the pits, all of the rocks, all the stuff the enemy's put in front of you to cause you to be tempted, to kick you, to throw you down, Holy Spirit will bring light on it. And all of a sudden you begin to see it. Does that mean you're going to stumble and fall? Oh yeah, you sure will at times. But you're going to start to see your path in front of you better. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That thought, that's not a thought of God. Take captive every thought. It's hard to take captive the thoughts if we're not having light on it. Oh, that words I'm speaking, oh, that's not a very good word to speak, you know. Wait a minute. No, I'm going to stop saying that. Why? Because we're into a place we realize the Bible says, wait a minute, our words have power of life and death. I got to be careful what I say. You see, this peace that we gain that goes beyond understanding is because we're walking in the light. When we walk in the light, we gain all of these things. All the fruit of the Spirit is not something we got to get as it's something external we're trying to find. It's all our promise in Christ. That's who Holy Spirit is. He is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He is all of those things. And when I decrease and let him walk in my life and lead me, when I grab the word and I let it lead my life, there's a confidence that comes. I'm his and he's mine. And there's nothing that I face that him and I can't make it together. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all my sin. When they ask the ushers to come at this time, and we're going to take up communion, as we close our service, I'm going to ask Matthew and the team to come back, and we're going to sing and that song we end it with of Who You Say I Am. We're just going to begin to sing that out and declare it out and reflect over what Christ has done for us on the cross. Amen? So if you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only requirement. Amen? If you're here today and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I consider opening up the door for you. If you'd like to come and talk to me, I'm going to hang out right here. Come up and see me. If you're like, I'm not quite sure, well, let's just make it right before him. Anyone that calls on his name, and that he says he'll answer. He's not against you. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're never going to get it all right before you come to him. And he says, just come as you are and let's do it together. Amen? But if you are a believer in Christ, then I want to encourage you once again. Remember, this is doing remembrance of him. Amen? This is because he's worthy. That's why we take communion. Matthew, if you'll lead us.